Welcome, everybody, to Mormons on Mushrooms. Just a reminder that this is a storytelling podcast where we discuss alternative methods for healing from trauma and seeking a more fulfilling life. A lot of times on the podcast, we discuss triggering topics, and we ask that you make your personal mental health top priority. Lastly, the opinions offered by our guests don't necessarily reflect the opinions of the hosts. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy.
And now I'd still wait for that countdown, Doug.
I know, right? I want the fucking countdown.
Yeah, this is one worth counting down for because it's one we've been planning on for months. And I just can't wait to dive into this episode. So we are joined here by V. V reached out to us anonymously several months ago. She's a sex worker and wanted to tell her story, wanted to destigmatize her work. And it was a yes from the beginning for us. I mean, she had us at hello. And then, it's been a long time coming because we wanted one, make sure that the energetic, the container had to feel right for it. And also we have to work out some technical things because we'll be doing a few things different in this episode. One, we will be altering the voice, of V. And then also, it'll be more of a kind of a question answer format, maybe than our other episodes. It might not be quite as like, I don't know how to describe it, Doug.
We say that now, Mike, but you know goddamn well that it's going to get pretty conversational and we're going to drop all of the, ask question and listen for answer. We're going to drop that fairly quickly. So V, I hope you're in for a little bit of that kind of ride. We've made our best effort to commit to you that we're going to ask questions. You'll answer them. We'll modify your voice and all that kind of thing. But I can almost promise you that, one or both of us will go into some sort of tangential storytelling and it'll just be like a fucking shit show the whole way. So welcome, I think is what we're trying to say.
I think that sounds great. You know, I enjoy banter. I enjoy your podcast and playing off of each other. It feeds that energy and allows for a natural flow of conversation. So I'm not worried about it. I think this is going to be a really good time and I'm excited to just connect.
Yeah, we're pumped to have you here. So first of all, thank you. And really excited to chat with you. Now, maybe we just do a little bit of sort of like setting the foundation before we get into the juicy stuff. So you're a sex worker. You're born and raised in Utah. Were you raised in the Mormon Church?
Absolutely. Yes. I was raised in the Mormon Church. I went through the temple. I did the whole marriage thing. And then, you know, and found myself on a very bizarre journey and that led me to this place.
You cut out just a little bit there. I think we caught most of it.
Okay. Where do you think I cut out at?
A little bit after you married, the whole deal.
Once we left the church, it just no longer made sense for us to stay married. And we decided to go our separate ways. And it led me on this very bizarre journey to where I am today, doing what I do and talking to you guys.
Wow. So I think that for most people, myself included, it's like a far cry to say, okay, well, I was born and raised Utah Mormon, married in the temple, you know, and then it's like Doug and Mike are saying, and welcome V, who is a sex worker. It's like almost like I almost feel like I'm doing something wrong by saying the phrase sex worker. Do you know what I mean? That's how deeply embedded sexual shame is for, I have to assume that if it's that deeply embedded for me, it's probably, pretty deep down for a lot of, dogmatic religious folks. So I don't even know where to start. How does one go on that journey from, okay, well, today's our wedding day at the temple, to today I'm talking to Doug and Mike and I'm a sex worker. Like, what, can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
I mean, I can only speak for mine, right? So there are so many people that do this, obviously have their own path. And I want to make something abundantly clear. My experience is, I'm very fortunate in my experience that I am not being exploited. There is nobody making me do this. I have not been trafficked. It's a choice that I've made. It's a choice that I really enjoy it. I enjoy a lot of fulfillment from it. But there are people out there that I want to, you know, make that distinction of that are being exploited, that are in child slavery and are going through horrific things for the sake of sex work. And, you know, that also needs to have attention brought to it. And, you know, hopefully over time with legislation changing around legalizing sex work, we can kind of see a depreciation in that. But I'm very fortunate that my experience is completely of my own volition. So there's that. I just want to kind of say that from the very beginning. For me, a part of my healing journey was healing through that same sexual shame and sexual trauma that we all kind of experience in being Mormon and to varying degrees. And for me, I was absolutely physically sexually assaulted by Mormon men. And, you know, went through that kind of experience of rape and these things, and working through my own sexual trauma, working through my sexual shame and wanting to cultivate, an energy, especially in this state that's so steeped in sexual shame, of sexual positivity, of being able to create a space for myself that allows people to come in to experience a very sexually positive experience as a contrast to the sexual shame that is just so rampant in this state. You know, and I'm sure people listening will go, of course she went through sexual assault and now she's a sex worker. Not everybody that goes through sexual assault ends up where I am. That is a choice that I made through a lot of self-reflection and healing and checking in with myself on, is this something I want to do? But I have found it to be really empowering and quite beautiful.
I'm really glad you brought that up. I mean, that's the common like stigma that gets thrown around. They're like, oh, okay, sexual abuse, of course, you know, but especially when you're talking about Utah and the Mormon culture, I believe just in talking to people and people that we've known through the podcast and just being immersed in this community, this ex-Mormon community, sexual abuse is so fucking common. Yes. And it's so prevalent, and incest and things that it's permeating through Mormon culture because we've hit it. We put it in our shadow. And so just to frame for listeners who aren't Mormon and listening, just to kind of highlight the spectrum that you've been on. I mean, the Mormon church still teaches that sexual sins are next to murder in seriousness.
Right. Right.
That is written in our scriptures. It's actively preached. I mean, in preparation for this episode, I was listening to a podcast from an ex-Mormon porn star named Alina Lopez, and she was talking about her upbringing in the Mormon church and having a boyfriend early on who would physically harm himself after masturbating as a way of punishing himself. And I don't know if I've ever gone to physical harm masturbating, but the amount of like self-abuse that I've done. And so even the term self-abuse, masturbation is termed self-abuse. I'm using it right. As self-abuse in the shame I inflicted on myself after touching my own body and pleasuring myself and feeling good in my skin.
Self-flagellation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I kind of want to bring awareness to that. And rewrite that story and allow, and what I love that you brought up shadow work, because what I like to describe to people is that the container I've created that I work out of, my studio, was created from my shadow. It was born out of my shadow and out of loving those parts of my shadow and integrating them into me. And so because my container was created from my shadow, it allows that for the patrons that come see me, my clients have a safe space to move through their shadow while they're in that space, if they so choose. It's welcome there and they can feel it because that is the energy that I have brought into the space I've created purely from shadow.
So, God, there's so many directions to go. I mean, this is going to be such a juicy conversation, but V, I think I'd like to go back, just to triple down on something that you brought up, and Mike, you mentioned it, but I remember a couple of years ago, my wife and I both listened to the same podcast where a sex worker was interviewed and talked about sex positivity and talked about the role that sex workers, the very important role that, that sex workers play, like now and throughout history. And it's just like, there's no convincing certain people. Like my wife and I came away from that podcast with very different perspectives. You know, she was like, she's very much into the whole, like, sex work is sexual slavery. It's abuse, you know, it's sex trafficking, all that kind of stuff. And you started by talking about that and asserting that you are in your right mind and that you're choosing to do this. But what do you say to the folks who, and I think it's probably just some real deep programming, but what do you say to those folks that say, well, you know, you just admitted to being sexually assaulted in your youth, and now you're in denial about sex work being slavery, sexual slavery. What kind of response do you have to that?
I don't respond to it. So let me do a bit of a reframe. There's a lot out there I can't control. I can't control that there are people in sexual slavery. I can't stop it. I have little to no power to stop the kind of porn that's being made, to stop from these women being abused. What I can create and put out into the world and put out into the collective is a different experience. So rather than trying to shut down these other conversations that people try to bring to me, I just say, well, you have that view and that's okay. You have that view for a very valid reason. These things are actually happening. And I am creating something entirely different. If it aligns for you, please partake or not, and that's okay. But all I can do in my power is show up authentically with what I am trying to create on the earth that is different from what is already out there. Nice. So, and the men that come see me know that. You are getting a different experience. It's very clear to them as soon as they step in my space that they are getting a very different experience from the norm. And I can't stop what anyone else is doing, but I can create what I want to do. And so their thoughts or opinions are valid from where they're coming from. And they're also unimportant to me because it's not going to dissuade me from what I am creating, which has nothing to do with those things.
So I hope we can just sort of get right into this. Can I ask about, you said that when your clients come to visit you, they're experiencing something and they recognize immediately that they're experiencing something very different from the norm. Can we talk a little bit about the norm? Cause I'm gonna sound like a total, like, you know, naive noob here, but I have to admit, I believe in experiencing all that life has to experience, but I have to admit that I've never, had an experience with a sex worker. So when you say the norm, what would someone who is familiar with visiting a sex worker, what would they think is the norm?
So one of the ways that, and I'm not going to get into where I advertise, it doesn't matter, but the really most common basic one would be what was crudely termed as a rub and tug, right? So you go, you get a massage.
Like a massage thing. Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Happy ending massage, which is great, by the way. Happy ending massage, as long as it's consensual for both parties and nobody's being exploited, you know, that's great. That's a great experience to have. You can have that experience. There's nothing wrong with it. So I'm not using like a moral hierarchy on what I am offering is better, because it's just different. I want to also make that clear for the women that are doing that other kind. Girl, get it, you know, as long as it's consensual. So for me, I am very interested in connection with people. It's not just, and most people are, that's what they're actually looking for. They're not just looking to have someone touch their body, turn them over, jerk them off, and send them out the door like they're on a conveyor belt. And so when they come and see me, first thing, as soon as you see me right through the door, massive eye contact, very intense eye contact. I'm right here. I'm going to look right at you. I'm going to put my hand on your chest. You're going to see me. I'm going to see you. You're in my space and I see you. So people feel very seen when they come through. I implement a lot of energy work and embodiment and breath work within my sessions with people, so that when I am doing massage and touching these people, I am making sure they are very, very present with their body. They're present with the sexual energy that's being cultivated between us. They're present with what that is doing to their body. They're present to the shame they're experiencing. They're present to the joy they're experiencing, because I don't let them leave their body. I keep them very present. Now, there are men that come see me that do not have any interest in that. And very quickly, I can assess that that's not what they want. They really are looking more for an attractive woman to jerk them off. Mm. That's 100% fine. I will provide that for you. That is all you want. That's all you'll get. And you will have no access to these other parts of me because you've shown no interest, and that's okay. They don't typically come back, and I'm okay with that. The experience in and of itself is positive, but I'm okay if they don't return because they're not actually interested in what it is that I'm offering. Right. So there is that distinction. And one of the most beautiful compliments I had was from a guy who had seen quite a few different women that do what I do. And he got done, and this big rush of guilt and shame kind of, you know, brought to the surface. And we had a good conversation about it. And then he took a deep breath and he said, "This is the least guilty I have ever felt doing something like this."
Oh, that's cool.
And it made me so happy. He was like, "I feel safe. I feel seen. I feel like you actually care about me as a person in this space." And I'm like, you're not judging me for being here. And I'm like, well, it'd be ludicrous for me to judge you for being here. I'm here. It would be crazy. Uh-huh. Like, I'm in the room. So how can I possibly judge you for being in the room? I'm in the room. And any judgment I have for you coming to see me would just be a projection of my own judgments on my own shit. And so because my container was created from the shadow, because I have released that judgment around myself and this decision to create this space, these men intrinsically feel that I'm not judging them for being there. It's different. And I'm told repeatedly from clients. And like I said, I haven't experienced these other spaces. So all I know is my own reference. All I know is what I am creating. And then when I'm told repeatedly, this is unlike anything I've ever experienced. This is incredible. What just happened? The amount of times someone has said, "What just happened?" it's amazing that I get to create this.
Mike, I don't mean to hog all the questions here.
No, please do. I've got some things I wanted, but I want you to go.
Well, you know, V, you had mentioned. I guess I had never thought about the sort of like the judgment going both ways type of thing. Like it, as we were preparing to have this conversation, I was kind of like doing an exercise, trying to put myself into that position, and I guess I didn't really think about a client coming in and being concerned that you are judging them. I was thinking maybe that there was more of maybe you facing judgment from clients in this weird way. Like I was sitting here thinking, I'll bet that happens. And this is just me being maybe revealing something about myself is what it probably is. But I was thinking, how could a person judge V, who is there to actively partake of her services? I was thinking that probably does happen from time to time, but I didn't. Sure. I didn't consider the sort of like self-loathing that sort of like is reflected in being concerned that you are judging them. That's a pretty interesting point to think about. Like that's layered. There's a lot of layers to that shit.
Well, and even them judging, I do get clients that'll judge me for what it is that I do. It's still not about me. It's their own self-judgment that they are projecting outward. They feel uncomfortable being there. And so instead of owning their discomfort and the shadow and feeling their own shame for being with a sex worker, they will project it onto me. Mm. Neither one is true. Neither one is true. I'm so happy and comfortable. I am so blissed out of my mind when I'm working and reassuring people of I'm not being exploited. I'm enjoying the hell out of myself. I think it also kind of diffuses that judgment as well of like, I'm not checked out, and they can feel that. They're like, this woman is completely present with me. She's not zoned out of her mind. I was like, well, yeah, if you're in a position where you're being exploited and you don't want to be there, you're going to be disassociated while you're working. That's who you're going to experience. You're going to experience women that are disconnected from their bodies. And that's okay that they're doing that as a survival tactic, and they should, right? If that's the situation. I feel fortunate with the container I've created because it's just mine, which means I get to also be deeply in my body while I'm working. And other people don't get to enjoy that luxury of being, you know, in your body. I'm not disassociated at work. And if I do, if I become disassociated and I start leaving my body, then I check in with me. Am I okay? Why am I out of my body? I get to then do shadow work on the parts of me that come up in space as well. It's so incredible because clients will leave and I'll be in the shower and my own shame comes up and my own stories around what I'm doing come up to the surface, because how could they not? And I get to just love all over those pieces of myself.
V, I'm just already gobsmacked by this conversation. Can I use the word gobsmacked? We can use that word, right?
Please do. Yeah. I love that word. That's such a good word.
That's a great word.
I want to talk about this container and this mirror, because, you know, I do think that, you know, relationships and especially, you know, sexual encounters, because they're so vulnerable, require such a, you know, we talk about that presence, and you only get to that presence if you have that safe container for someone to, because the way I see it is that in an experience where someone's going to be vulnerable and especially showing parts of their own shadow, their shadow has to feel safe to come out in a vulnerable way, right? And I'm going to compare it a little bit. I know it's different work, but compared to what Doug and I do on this podcast, because I think when I talked earlier on with, you know, about we wanted to wait for the right time to have a safe container to bring you on. There's an amount of energetic vulnerability I have to get into, that Doug has to get into, to set a container for you to come on, for guests to come on and be vulnerable. And it requires me to be present, right? And there's a mirroring effect that happens. It's very energetic. And the reason why I bring this up, because I can only imagine, like, I'm talking about this and it's on a podcast and we're on Zoom, right? Like, no, it's a public thing. And I think that adds to the energetics of it. But I can only imagine, you know, how intense some, you know, that container or that, how strong of a container you need to hold and how much of your own shadow work you had to do before getting to this point where you could create a space that felt safe for people to come and release so much shame.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a question in there, but I don't know if you can, speak to that. What needed to,
I think, again, this talk of presence, we'll keep talking about that, right? Because I am so present with these men when I see them. I'm so present with them and they can feel that. And my eye contact is very open and intense. It diffuses a lot of that. It is a very vulnerable state. You're naked. You're on a table. I am standing over you and I'm asking you to just be here in your body. Be in your body. Come back to your body. Be in your body. And the container was created from my shadow and all the work I've done around that. And they can feel that. So they might not have the vernacular to describe what it is they're experiencing. But on a cellular level, their nervous system, if we want to get into the physiology of it, their nervous system comes down. They come into a much more regulated state. And energetically, they can feel that there's something happening here. And it's really, really lovely. And like I said, it's not everybody. Some men come in and they're so closed off and they want no part of that. They're not interested. And that's okay. I still am aware that I'm planting seeds. What that looks like for them later, I have no idea. But it's really great. I love it. It's so powerful. I mean, and I don't get to run from my shadow. That's what's fascinating, is that I have placed myself in a position where my shadow is being thrown at me every single day. It's like, I don't get to run from this shit anymore because I cannot do what I'm doing and create this container from integrity if I'm running from my shadow at the same time. So it's so, like I said in the beginning, it's bizarre.
Well, I mean, to hear you describe it is a little bit, you both have used good words, gobsmacked and bizarre. I think I'm a little bit fascinated right now, because to hear you describe your work, you know, you've said things like these dudes will get into what just happened. These dudes will be very present. You're inviting them to be very present. You're inviting them back into their body. I mean, it sounds like the way you're describing it, it sounds like you're in some sacred spaces. Like, it sounds like you're in some places that are, very vulnerable and very rare for modern human beings, male, female, name for everything on every side of that spectrum. Like, it sounds like this is, I dare I say, fulfilling work. Like that, it sounds like you're coming face to face with humanity. That's a fucking cool thing, right?
It's extremely fulfilling.
Wow.
And one of the other terms that I really like for the work I do is sacred prostitute, because you're not wrong. I've cultivated these very sacred spaces for really prolific things to be happening to myself and people alike. It's really incredible. Sacred prostitute's a good word for it. But sex work is also fine, because I don't want to create a hierarchy around that, as if sacred prostitute is morally more okay and morally just than plain old sex work. And I don't think that that's true, to kind of get rid of that moral hierarchy, right? But both titles are beautiful.
Well, the moral hierarchy, I've Mike, you mentioned like it, sex being a sin next to murder for a lot of religious people, and quite specifically within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I don't know that this is the case, but I think that it kind of is. Like, taking a life is a sin that is less serious than sexual sin, because you think about like there are time and place in what is like generally accepted. There's time and place that it's okay to take a life. You know, there are people that are pro capital punishment. There are people who believe in
war.
War. Yeah. Taking a life in wartime. I think that there are a lot of people who would say something along the lines of like, well, if someone, you know, did something inappropriate to my child, by God, I'd track them down and I'd hunt them like I'm Gerard Butler in Law Abiding Citizen, right? Like, so there's like a lot more, there is a lot more outlet for the justification of violence than there is for the justification of sex. Like literally sex is like forbidden until that wedding night. And then it's like this weird thing of like, oh, well, it's been forbidden my whole life, and now I feel some kind of way about sex. Like now I have a bunch of like weird feelings around sex. So you probably, V, have seen the whole spectrum of, I mean, you mentioned that there's people that come in and they really want a full blown experience where they're connecting and they're being seen and they're seeing you. And then there's people who, you know, you said they're just coming in to get a hand job or whatever it is. I do have a quick question about the hand job thing. So when you talked about rub and tug, I feel awful saying this, but like my homie and I were talking about those places that like will pop up and they'll say like massage, you know, like it's like all red letters and they're like in a strip mall in like some sort of part of town. And so we've always talked about how those are places where people get happy endings. And then we had this, this female friend of ours who was like raving to us about the best massage that she gets. She always books this same thing. She goes to the same place, and lo and behold, the place she goes is one of these massage parlors, is what, I don't know if that's the right nomenclature. Yeah, I don't know if I'm using the correct terminology here, but like, so me and my homeboy, when we heard that she was going to this, we were like, wait, what the fuck are you getting? Whatever the female equivalent, are you getting your bean flicked, or are you getting finger, like whatever is going on? Like, is that happening? We asked her, is that happening? And she's like, God, no, like, of course that's not happening. So my whole world has been topsy turvy. I don't know where these fucking massage hand jobs are happening, but I've always assumed that they were happening at these places that pop up, and they just like, they have like the little, like, you know, vertical sign that just says like massage, you know, it's like, I always thought that's where you go.
I think some of those are. I think you're correct. Okay. Right. I think some of them are, but I don't engage in that. I'm a solo artist, if that's the way you want to look at it. It's just me. No. It's just me.
And I'm not. I was not.
And yeah, so I don't know. It's like it's really bizarre because I don't know.
I'm not asking you, V, to be the expert on all things massage. Yeah. I just wanted to know the reason for my question is you've spoken pretty specifically about your clientele being these men. And I was curious, like, is it men or does every person from every walk of life come seek out your services?
I see predominantly men. I have seen women. I am so happy to work with women. Women are great. And women have also gone through their own sexual shame. And for me, it's a very different experience working on a man than it is working on a woman, not just because of the anatomy. But with men, with women, I am essentially helping bringing them back into their own feminine sexual power. I'm like, let's just reconnect. You're disconnected from it. Let's reconnect you to your feminine sexual power. I'm not doing that with men. Because why would I? That wouldn't make any sense. So my experience with women is different, but it does involve massaging their pussy and that kind of thing, you know?
Massaging the pussy is the preferred nomenclature. Like me saying fingering and flicking the bean, that's we prefer just massaging the pussy. That's fair.
Well, and I know that some people will say they want it to sound little, so they'll say yoni massage or, yeah, you know, and that's fine. Yoni is a great word, but I like the word pussy and I like the word cock, and I use those when I'm working, and I use those with clients just because that's the vernacular I prefer. So if I am working on a woman, I'm going to very sensually and gently, and same thing, bring her back to her body, bring her back to her breathing, make her very present, allow her to just experience having her pussy massaged without her needing to orgasm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times when, you know, if a man's touching a woman's pussy, his main objective is to get her off. And there's a lot of pressure around orgasm. And when I'm working on a woman, I'm like, if you orgasm, amazing. But I don't care if you don't. We're just going to work on pleasure and pleasure for pleasure's sake and just enjoying yourself. And so I get a lot of the women that do come see me, I don't get a lot of women, but the ones that do, you know, they just like the experience of being able to relax without the pressure of sexual performance. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need you to holler, you know?
That sexual performance is a deal. And especially, you know, you talk about the presence, and, you know, in Mormonism, you know, sexual sin is sin next to murder, but also the body is an enemy to God. And right. So it's like being present in the body is something that I have such a struggle with. And even being out of the church for almost 10 years now, it's still a deal. And so I know we said we wanted to destigmatize your work on this episode, but I'm going to take it even a step further. And I like how you said sacred, what did you say? Sacred
prostitute.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about it's called the oldest profession for a reason, right? Like, yeah. I mean, it's been since the dawn of time. So in school, I'm doing this somatics course right now. And it's been fascinating, you know, to just learn about how interconnected the psyche and the body, psyche is in body. And like, as much as talk therapy and doing dreams and psychedelics have been like, so instrumental in my healing, that connection to the body is so important. And so, you know, it talks about in a lot of the books I've been reading for this course, just how much having both like a therapeutic, like a talk therapy, and a somatic like practice is, or somatic therapy. And I'm looking at the work you do, and it's a blending almost, or like taking that, especially for, you know, ex-Mormons or people who grew up in a Western society. It doesn't, not even ex-Mormons, but I think it's amplified with ex-Mormons. A container for them to bridge that gap. I mean, you know, one of the things we learn about in my program too, as well as the Madonna whore split that happens, mm-hmm, in so many, like ex-Mormon psyche. I'll just say ex-Mormon because that's mostly what we're talking to here, where they've put women on a pedestal. And so they've created this split where women are the women that are their wives, or their, you know, the women that they want for their like romantic partners are idealized. And so the whore archetype gets pushed into the shadow, mm-hmm, and it's really hard to bridge those two. And, mm-hmm. And so you're talking about that presence and that presence in the body that's really hard for people who are recovering from religious trauma to get from, to work through with a romantic partner, because they've already put that partner on a pedestal. They've already created that mirror. And so, in other words, I'm just seeing the importance of how, or the value of your work.
Well, I think that trying to convince a man, by the way, a lot of my clients are still active Mormon, which is fascinating, but trying to convince a man to do an embodiment practice, just in and of itself, like let's do somatic release. Let's do an embodiment practice. Let's do talk therapy. There's a lot of shame around that. And so most men will resist. They don't want to try it. It's really great in this sexual space because I am implementing an embodiment practice, but in a way that is so pleasurable that they surrender into these embodiment experiences, not really realizing what it is that they're doing. Like they don't, I don't say I'm doing an embodiment practice with you. I don't tell them that. So I'm aware that that medicine is being planted, even if they're not aware of it. But I do it in such a way that they can just accept it instead of putting it into those categories of woo-woo. Because my hand's wrapped around your cock while I'm telling you to breathe and I'm asking you to be present in your body. They're like, I'm going to do whatever you say. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like I have like picture. I mean, you guys see me. I'm an attractive woman. There's an intense. I'm naturally very intense. And I have very bright eyes, very big eyes that just convey a message. So if you can, for a moment, picture my hand is in the center of your chest on your heart. And I am inches away from your face. And I am saying, I want you to breathe and come back to your body as I'm stroking your cock. Okay. And then as I'm doing that, I'm like, I want you to put all of your awareness into your cock. And I want you to surrender into that pleasure and just know that pleasure is your birthright. And that you don't have to earn pleasure and that you are allowed to feel pleasure simply because you exist and that this is a beautiful place to be right now and come back to your breathing. And they're like, oh my God, what is happening?
That's
because they're blissed out of their minds. Their cock is being stroked, but I'm also like, I am there. I'm with you, completely present.
I love hearing you tell that story because I feel like, I feel like it's very like, liberating. There's like permission there. Like when you said, bring your awareness to your cock, I feel like most of my problems in my life are because of my awareness is too much centered around my cock. Do you know what I mean?
But so it's like, but it's not for someone, your awareness. If you were actually centered and aware of your cock.
Well, that's what I'm saying. To have someone who is like encouraging that and saying, hey, this is healthy. This isn't wrong. You're not a dirty little boy. You're not like some kind of. Yeah. Some kind of creep, some kind of perv, like that. That's powerful. So
unless they want that, because I also do domination.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, and Doug, just to reframe that, because I think it's important, because you know that whole phrase that he was just thinking with his dick. I actually think that's the opposite. I think that kind of those actions come from a disconnection to your body. Rather than if you're really leading from your dick or your cock, it's like the core of what you desire. And it's when you're in alignment, you know, and so you talk about like performance, men also perform. I mean, Cialis and all that is evidence that men aren't really tuned into their cock. So when you're getting there and you're not having trouble getting it up, it's because you're not in alignment and your cock's saying no. And you're like, wait, I want this. And like the cock's like, no, you really don't. Or you're not wanting to perform right now, cut the performance. And so actually, I think there's the practice of really tuning in and like connecting with your cock and learning what it really wants. He really wants, you could say. I think we can reframe that thing of like, no, when you're really living life from your cock, you're aligned from like your core desires at like,
agreed.
Yeah,
connected to it. Well, and what's interesting is that because men will come see me and I'm playing with their cock, I'm like, I need you to like, I'll tell them like, check your performance. I don't care about your performance. Just be present with me, be present with your body. What your cock is doing right now, I'm indifferent to. So if it stays flaccid, I don't care. I'm going to continue to touch it and stroke it and talk to you and have you breathe and come back to your body, whether you're hard or not, because it doesn't matter to me. And the second that pressure to have a stiff, hard cock or to have an orgasm goes away and they don't have to perform, their entire body relaxes. And lo and behold, they end up with a hard cock. It's not really that surprising. It's like, it's almost instantaneous. Like, of course, because you're relaxed into it. you know, and then, and same thing, I take off that pressure of orgasm, but everybody finishes, and I want them to. That's part of the experience, is allowing that energy to flow through. And one of the other things I do, which I really love, is that as soon as they orgasm, as soon as it happens, once that like initial wave ends, I wipe them up, clean them up, get that out of the way, and immediately go back to touching them and back to hand on the chest, eye contact. I want you to breathe. I want you back in your body. Come back in your body post-orgasm and feel what it feels like to have those ripples going through your body. Feel the sensations of post-orgasm in your body instead of checking out and getting on your phone. Just breathe.
Cool. What? So can you walk us through? I mean, I mean, it's up to you as far as like what you want to share here and what you don't want to share. But so someone has booked time with you.
Yeah.
From I would prefer maybe to go to that moment of like they've gone into their maybe they're nervous, maybe they're feeling some guilt, maybe they're feeling some kind of way, I don't know. From that, like what happens? Can you just walk us through that process a little bit? I mean, it's probably different for everybody, but like, so someone reaches out to you via some method. Okay. And then it's like we made an appointment.
Yeah.
And you've kind of talked a little bit about, okay, you're there, your eye contact, you're with them. But what is a typical, I guess typical is a real weird word, but like.
No, I kind of start everybody the same is, okay. You know, hey, this is, you know, I advertise as doing, I guess more of like a happy ending massage. That's not the vernacular I use, but that is my advertisement. So I do not advertise to be full service, which full service includes sex. That is not in my advertisement, and that is not a guarantee or ever. And so, and everybody knows that. So when they come see me for the first time, and I can gauge pretty quickly, if I think if I would even consider wanting to have sex with that person, it's usually pretty quick within the first few minutes. And if I don't, then I'm not going to. And I will just say, hey, you know, I'm going to start you face down. And all I want you to do while you're here is just breathe. I'm going to, you know, instruct you to breathe as we go. And I just want you to receive. I want you to receive. I want you to breathe and relax in your body. I want you to be really present with your body. I'm going to be present with you. And I just want you to receive. And I'm going to touch you because I love touching people. I'm going to use liberal amounts of hot oil. But I'm going to put you in the shower when we're done. So you can, you know, go about your day like normal. And I'm just going to go to town. And so I'll start them. I always start them face down. And I always start at the center of their back, which is their heart chakra. So it's very purposeful what I'm doing, even if they're not aware of it. So I'm starting at their heart chakra, moving that energy out. And then for the next, you know, half hour or till I flip them over, I'm just gliding my naked body all over them. And it is so lovely, just touching and breathing and moving and touching every facet of the body and just making sure that their body feels really safe, making sure they're feeling really centered in themselves and really good. And for me, I always state my boundaries. You know, these are my boundaries. You're welcome to touch me back. I enjoy mutual touch. Do not touch my neck. My underwear stays on. I am not full service. Unless it is someone that I could see that going in that direction, then I don't use those words. I just don't even say that part. I'll just be like, you know, you can touch me back and just, you know, whatever. These are where my boundaries are at. And if you're not going to be respectful of my boundaries, you can get the fuck out. You know, and I haven't really, I've had a few experiences, but for the most part, people are very respectful. And then, you know, I flip them over, start working on their front half. Again, I'm gliding over their body. I'm bringing them back to their breath. I'm just making them feel really good, very seen. If they want to talk, we can talk. If they want to be quiet, there's music playing. And then I will do like a cock massage. Sometimes I'll do a prostate massage if people want that. Obviously, you know, there's a release and then coming back into the body, kind of just getting rid of that shame of orgasm, cleaning that up, just setting that aside, and then making sure they feel really good and relaxed when they're done. And then the last thing I do is just get them in the shower and wash them off and give them a hug and send them on their way. And I would say that I have, you know, penetrative sex with about 20% of my clients. And that is only because I want to. It's not something you can purchase. If I don't want to have sex with you, I'm not having sex with you. If I don't want to put your cock in my mouth, it's not going to happen. And you cannot offer me enough money for me to change that no to a yes. Mm. It's up to my discretion. Now, if there is someone that the vibe is good, I like their energy, it feels natural to take it to the next level, which would be sex, then I'm like, I would really love to have sex with you. Is this something you'd like to do? I use condoms. And, you know, we kind of take it from there. Yeah.
Just the way you're describing that, I can already see so many ways in which it's incredibly healing. And I'm talking about from an ex-Mormon perspective. You know, growing up Mormon, you learn pretty quickly as a man that men are dirty, and you learn to put women on a pedestal, right? That women don't want sex, that men want sex. And you said something earlier about pleasure is your birthright and it's not something you have to earn. I remember when I was getting married, you know, someone close to me gave me the advice that, like, look, if you ever want sex with your wife, you make sure the dishes are done, you know, it gave me a checklist of things you need to check off to earn that sex. Immediately sex became this thing that, like, oh yeah, I need to earn.
More transactional than what V is describing, right? Mm-hmm. It's more transactional than V's experience.
Exactly.
And that is beautiful. A lot of men can't. Yeah. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, I just love to say that. I mean, that I like how you said that, more transactional, because it is, like, energetically more transactional. And then just the thought about, like, you know, as that, you also get in your mind that, like, look, you know, she comes first, which is always great. You know, you want, like, the women to be pleasured. And so you have in that mind that, like, look, her pleasure is paramount to this experience that it even gets in. Speaking from personal experience, even when I'm receiving, my mind's already going to when I'm going to give soon. Like, I can't, it's hard for me just to lay and fully receive. I'm already thinking about giving as I'm receiving. And so,
I would say most of my clients are the same. Yeah. They really struggle with it. Some won't receive at all. They have such a hard time with it that they're immediately trying to put the focus on me. Mm-hmm. They just can't. And that's okay. You know, that's just where they're at. But for a lot of them, when they try to put the focus, like I said, I like mutual touch. So if they're really putting the focus on me, I'm like, I will kind of remind them to come back to themselves. I'm like, look, I'm enjoying you touching me. And I'm also going to have you put your hands down and just breathe and be back in your body and receive, because you're here to fill your cup. And you're here to be on the receptive end. So we're just going to, and you can touch me in give me 5 minutes. And they'll usually laugh. And they're like, okay, I can receive for 5 minutes. And I'm like, great. And then after that, if you want to eat my pussy, let's do it. Because there, it just becomes that, like, game that becomes very fun of, like, don't get me wrong, I would love to receive, but you came here for a reason. And you came here to receive. And one of the things that is in my ad is that I talk about body worship. You know, my entire ad opens with, when's the last time your body was worshipped? And that's what I'm doing. It is not mechanical at all. When I say I am, like, ridiculous, like, just picture insane amounts of oil and me just sliding all over the place. I'm having the best time. I am blissed out of my mind. And, like, and I also have a big mirror that's in my workspace that's adjacent to the table. So I'm like, if you want to watch, you know, for people that are visual, they can watch. I like to watch myself, which sounds insanely narcissistic, but there's a pleasure in it because I get to go look at this woman who came from where she came from, who has created this space, and look at how happy she looks. And I get to watch myself in that joy. And it's really, really, really powerful. And they get to watch as well, you know, get to do whatever they want. So something I have to rein in for sure.
I think the watching part, the way you're describing, like, honestly, the way you're describing getting all oiled up and sliding one another's bodies and watching in a mirror, like, that sounds like a pretty good fucking time to me. But I do have a question about you mentioned safety.
Yeah.
You said that you've had a couple of times when things got a little bit like, okay, we got to set some rules and some boundaries here. But, like, how do you, that would be a thing that I would be concerned about is how do you know that this dude coming to visit you is not some kind of weird fucking,
you don't.
He's going to feel ashamed of himself and then he's going to take it out on you.
You don't.
So what measures do you take to protect yourself?
I mean, curious. I have safety measures in place. And I also have, so I use a scheduler. People don't talk to me directly. They talk to my scheduler. And he's really great. He kind of serves as a bouncer. He doesn't allow people to have access to me if he feels is off. And if I ever have a guy that he, you know, when I get to the end and I leave and he leaves, I'm like, I will immediately text my scheduler. Do not text him again. I do not like him. I don't like his energy. He was trying to push his agenda. I'm not okay with that. And give him a bad review, because there's also these amazing websites you can go on, and women that do what I do can review people to help protect other people. And we say, oh, Bill was here and Bill was very pushy with my boundaries and Bill was very blah, 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 can put it on that review to protect other people. And then I just say, they're not welcome here again. You know, so there's different things. Bill's a dick.
Fucking Bill.
And there's been other men that I don't feel unsafe, but that have repeatedly asked me to be their mistress and I don't see them anymore. I go, no, thank you. I'm not going to work with you. I don't want to be your mistress. That's not happening. You have this container to come work with me. And outside of that, I want nothing to do with you. Hmm. And that's not, and I mean that with all my clients, and not to be rude. It's just that that is the container. That is what you get. I don't want to hear from you. We do not have a texting communication. I am not your girlfriend. I am not your mistress. Respect my container, respect my time, and we'll be good. You know?
We'll speak about that for a second, to the energetics, because what I've noticed a lot in like the new age spiritual community is, you know, this talk about the energetics of sex and like, and almost it gets in almost to a purity culture mindset again.
Oh, it's still slut shaming. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's still slut shaming.
Just in a different format, but it's still slut shaming. Yep. It's still, you know,
Yep. And it's wild to me, but it's dressed up real pretty through the new age spiritual community. So we can pretend it's not slut shaming. Yes, it is.
Yeah,
hey, yes, I'm a little bit lost. What is slut shaming?
We're talking about, have you heard like the whole thing about like, it's so like in the new age spiritual community, there's this whole thing about like protect your energy, sexual energy is like, you know,
I missed that part.
It gets into almost, you know, even like, someone was talking to me recently and saying like promiscuity is always misaligned with your, and I just am not buying that shit.
That resonates in my body the same way sexual shame from Mormonism resonates in my body. It feels the same. And if you'll notice too, in the new age spiritual community of this whole protect your sexual energy, it'll still be the focus on women. Don't allow men into you. Women, it's like, it's still focused on that, which is still an obsession with female purity. It's fucking crazy.
In fact, I heard one, I think I saw on Instagram or something, someone said like, you carry that energy, like a sexual partner, you carry that energy with you for 7 years or something
that. And the men don't?
I don't know.
Yeah, so that's the same. Well, and usually in the new age thing, it's like the women do, but the men don't. I'm like, we're still hung up on, you're still playing the cycle of sexual shame and slut shaming, because you're still, even in the spiritual community, saying that the women need to protect. Like, it's so fucking crazy.
Yeah. Now that we call it fucking crazy, I want to turn it on its head a little bit. And know that, like, look, there is a very intense energetic exchange with sex.
100%.
And so now that we've kind of, I would love to get your take on that, on the energetic dynamics and how you work with it. And you've already described it a little bit, you know, and protecting your boundaries, I think, is a big step.
Oh, that's probably the biggest one. Yeah. And also, me saying this whole argument with the new age stuff and slut shaming that's happening, it just drives me crazy. They're not wrong that it is an intense energetic exchange. They're not wrong, but you can still make the choice of engaging with sex however you want. If you want to stay celibate and only be with one person, I support you in that decision. That works for you. It is aligned for you. Amazing. I would like the same return of just, but I am not that. I am terrifically slutty. I have created an amazing container that's very safe for me and the people around me, so that I can, dive into that sluttiness in a way that is fulfilling to me, that would probably not be for a lot of other people. But that doesn't mean I'm less spiritual or less connected to my higher purpose on this planet. That's crazy. But I have to have, implement things in place to protect my energy. It can be very draining. I don't see more than 4 people a day. It's a little bit much for me. I use different, ways to kind of clear my energy at the end of the day. I take a lot of showers to not only physically clean myself off, but also energetically clean myself off when I'm done with people. I shower about 6 times a day. So I'm just constantly clearing that energy, running it down the drain. And there are days when I can tell my energy is not like protected, or I'm not sloughing it off properly because I'm extra drained. So if it gets to the end of a day and I'm dragging on the ground, that's because I haven't implemented the things I have in place to help my energy move through, because I am moving a lot of energy all day long.
So V, you've talked a couple of times about you're also not immune to some of those feelings of some of those old bugaboos of shame and
oh God, not at all,
and guilt and you know, you're talking about the shower.
Yeah, no, I feel that all the time. Yeah.
How do you tell us a little, can we talk a little bit about that? I mean, yeah, what are some of the methods? Yeah.
I had this like really interesting, I can tell you about one moment I had. So I had a client that came in that was so sexy. Oh my God. He was so incredibly attractive. We had a great session and had fucking phenomenal sex. And then he paid me a very large sum of money. And he left, and I got to, you know, went to go take a shower, and I'm standing in the shower and I'm laughing at the absurdity of what just happened, that this beautiful man rocked my world. By the way, it is very rare that men rock my world. I rock men's world all the time, but it's not very often that men rock my world. This man rocks my world and then paid me money. And I'm standing in the shower and all this shame and guilt comes up of, you shouldn't be smiling right now. You shouldn't be happy that this stranger had sex with you. You shouldn't feel joy that you just got paid to have sex with a fucking hot man. You should feel ashamed. You should feel terrible. And I sat with it and I was like, but that's not my story. That is not my truth. That is someone else's truth that they passed down to me. That's my mom's truth that got from her mom, that she got from her mom, that she got from her mom. For generations of Mormon women that have been telling this story to themselves and their daughters, it's not my story. But I got to hold space for that story, and I got to have this connection to all the women in my family line that are dead, all that ancestral work that I'm doing, that I am clearing that out and standing in the shower, reveling in pure blissed out joy that I just got paid to have sex with a very good looking man. And it was powerful. It was, I started crying and was just transmuting, and I could feel all these women that came before me. I could just feel their love around me in that moment. It was incredible.
That makes me feel the spirit right there, V. Yeah,
it was really good. It was really good. And to this day, still the best. He's the best I've had in my space. Thank you, sir.
I mean, it's my pleasure. Amen. I didn't think we were going to talk about that session, but now that we are there other, I'd be curious about experiences you've had that surprised you. I mean, that sounded like one of them. Like you're having an experience where you're like, what the fuck is life? What other kind of things? Cause I mean, honestly, I think about hospice nurses and morticians and sacred prostitutes. You are seeing people simultaneously at their best and at their worst. Like you are seeing the absolute everything peeled back, all of the masks and all of the layers gone. And you're seeing people like,
that's wild.
Them? Yeah.
It's just beautiful. It's beautiful to have these experiences most of the time. And some of them are hard. And there's a reason it's sex work is work, because there are times where I'm like, oh my God, that was a really challenging person to work on. I really struggled with that one. That was hard. That was draining. He smelled bad. You know, he had really bad hygiene. And so for an hour, I'm breathing through my mouth because I'm struggling with this space and seeing the whole gamut. And also checking in with myself in those moments of, you know, like I had one guy that was, he was really quite obese, like morbidly obese. And my initial reaction was repulsion. And that's my shit, by the way. That's mine. And I checked in with myself in that moment. And I was like, okay, this man is very large. Is he less worthy of touch and affection and connection and being in his body than anybody else that you see? Well, of course not. That's ludicrous. And once I could kind of, you know, change the thought process there. All right. Everybody has something that's beautiful. And I'm checking in with this guy and I notice he's got this patchwork of birthmarks on his chest, and they look like galaxy spirals. It was like one of the wildest things I've ever seen. It was like these nebula galaxy spirals that were all over his chest. And I thought, that is one of the coolest things I have ever seen. And I was so drawn into this patchwork on his chest that he suddenly became just this really beautiful person and was able to just sink into that energy of sliding on him, just like I do everybody else. I got my body. I'm rubbing all over him. I'm enjoying his energy. He was really kind. We had great conversation. I did not want to have sex with him. And then I get to sit with also, you know, when he left is like that shame, my own shame of being like, I do not want to have sex with a very obese man. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. It makes me feel shame. It makes me feel shame that I'm feeling that I do not want to have sex with this man. It's like, well, you don't have to have sex with someone to prove that you're not a bad person. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
So I also get to sit with the good girl, bad girl programming or good guy, bad guy programming with the people that come into my space as well. It is this never ending cycle of stories that come through. On a daily basis, I have at least one person that the day ends and I'm like, I cannot believe that just happened. What a remarkable experience to have shared with that person. You know, it's just really great. Like I had one guy that came in and his wife had died. His wife had died. And he was like, I'm really embarrassed that I'm here. My wife died. I just want someone to touch me. I don't know where else to go. I don't want a date, but I'm really embarrassed that I'm here. And I'm like, okay, well, are you comfortable with me touching you? Yes. And I'm like, okay, if you have any boundaries, let me know. Because if anything I do is too far for you. And he's like, okay. And then I just got to work and just was just loving all over him. Like he was the best thing that's ever happened. And, you know, by the end, you could just feel this relief. And I'm like, I hope I see you again. And it's okay if I don't. And don't, and please be gentle with yourself tomorrow when you start beating yourself up for being here. Okay. And he was like, okay. And then I sent him on his way.
Man, this is getting me a little emotional right here with it because, I don't know. It just, I just see the pain behind all of it too. You know what I mean? Like the, and the valuable service. I don't know how to describe it. I guess I'm a little gobsmacked again, and lost for words. Because
I think it is a valuable service. Sex is a commodity. It's something that we all want. Everybody wants touch. Everybody wants to feel desired. Everybody wants connection. Every fucking human on this planet desires those things. And for some people, I am the only outlet for it, or women like me. This very obese man is probably not dating out in the real world. It's probably very much a struggle for him because of the way, you know, we're all fat phobic. And if you say otherwise, you're full shit. It's drilled into us the way purity culture is drilled into us, right?
Exactly.
And so for him, he has an outlet for that. He can come see somebody and he knows I'm going to be kind to him when he's there. That does not mean it doesn't bring things up for me. That doesn't mean it doesn't at moments gross me out. And that is my shit when I said I don't get to run from my shadow. But I will be kind to him.
It's making me think of, I don't know if you're familiar with like, you know, the term incel or, it's like involuntary, how do you say it?
Involuntary celibate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, Reddit of like r/nice guys of, you know, it's guys, you know, trying their best to like woo women and like, you know, and get their needs met. And then when it's that needs are rejected, that nice guy turns really vicious pretty quickly. And what I found in me, it's like, oh, I've got that in me. Like, you know, I when I get rejected, there's an angry Mike that like comes out. It's like, holy shit, where did this guy come from? You know? So I've seen it in me. And you talk about being seen, being loved on, being present, being receiving touch because pleasure is your birthright. Like, you know, we talk about in America, like the school shootings and the problems we have with, you know, the violence. And what a valuable service to, I mean, that's what the people are lashing out at. And to be able to receive that in a safe container is just fucking beautiful.
And doesn't it just say how sick we are as a society, like how poisoned our society is that you can turn on any movie or TV show at any given moment and watch rampant violence all day long, if that is what you so choose. But if you were to watch two naked people energetically, like make love and be intertwined with each other, there's something wrong with you. It's like, what? It is mind blowing to me. That what I do is so frowned upon. I'm like, yeah, because this guy who just got his mind blown and got to be in his body for a second and feels really good and centered in himself. Yeah, we don't want that. Heaven forbid we have those type of men on the planet.
I'm glad you're talking about that. Over Thanksgiving, I went and saw the new Hunger Games movie. The Song of the Serpent and the Pharaoh. I can't remember what it's called. It's the new Hunger Games. It's like the origin story of the bad guy from Hunger Games, right?
Yeah. How was it, by the way?
I don't know. It was fine. It was good. It was better than, Killers of the Flower Moon. How's that?
Okay.
But one thing was very, very on display for me, because the movie itself is quite brutal. Like the movie itself is quite violent. And that stands to reason that a movie that is about a game show in which children kill each other, it would be right. Violent. That makes sense to me, right? But what was astounding to me was how innocent and pure it was sexually and language-wise. This movie does not have a swear word in it. Like, it doesn't have. I'm not kidding you. I'm pretty immune to hearing curse words, but it was obvious to me that there was hardly any cursing, and the occasional romances were so Disney G-rated type of romances. And so
interesting.
It's so fucking weird. Like you're talking about this dystopian future where it's televised violence between children, and yet we're so willing in our culture, we're so willing to accept that and be like, oh yeah, man, that's what happens in the future. Like, shit just gets real weird. But the one thing that we are not changing in the future, nuclear bombs, wars, all the shit that tears us apart as a society, we've all agreed that, like, hey, I mean, listen, we all agree that sex is bad, right? We're hanging on to this whole like vibe that, like,
the one thing that everybody wants, but okay, right?
The one thing that we all want is the one thing we're not allowed to have. Like, that's the thing that is the most forbidden. Like we call it forbidden fruit, and it just, like, every day of my life that makes more and more sense. Like, it really is. We invented marriage because of it. Men have been amassing land and power and people because of it. Women have been marginalized and abused and enslaved because of it. Like,
no.
You're trying to tell me that we don't have a massive shadow around sex in the globe?
It's insane.
It's the whole thing. Sex is the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And if you look out at nature, everything is fucking all the time. It doesn't stop. It's constant. It's like all the bees and, you know, it's just, it's going all the time. So why are we freaking out about it? Because we've separated ourselves from nature.
Right.
We keep thinking we are not nature. And as soon as you realize you are nature, you are not separated from it. Sex becomes, that's just part of what we do. My whole thing is just be in consensual, enthusiastic consent with it.
Well, and I'll go ahead, Doug.
I'm sorry, Mike, I have a rant. go on a rant. Like, you honestly, we talk so openly, and V, thank you for mentioning, like, nature, because not only does it happen rampantly in nature, but we humans, who we've convinced ourselves that we control everything, we control sex. So you have a horse that wins a fucking running race. You can rent out that horse to fuck other people's horses for the rest of that horse's life. And everybody's like, yeah, champion stud. Gotta get that horse fucking other horses. God forbid you have a golden retriever dog and a poodle dog. You're going to make thousands of dollars by making those two dogs fuck and creating these golden doodles that everybody wants. It's like, oh, it's the friendliness of a golden retriever, but, you know, it doesn't shed like a poodle. It's like, we... cattle, like farmers who are traditionally very conservative and very, like, religious and all kind of thing, they're out there making their cattle fuck and their sheep fuck and the goats fuck their sheep and their sheep fuck their chickens and their chickens fuck their fucking cats. Like, everyone is fucking. Everything is fucking. Everyone is having sex. Every creature on planet Earth, their very species relies on the fact that they all want to fuck. And yet the conversation that the three of us are having is like, hey guys, if you're going to visit a sex worker, wash your fucking butt crack. Like that's the most.
Also, like, please, the thing that you, for the love of God, wash your fucking butt crack and brush your goddamn teeth.
Is it so much to ask you to brush your teeth and wash your fucking crack?
When you walk into my space, the first thing I say is, I request that you wash your hands. And you go into the bathroom and there's a folded up hand towel on the counter. And I'm like, and if you would like to wipe up anything else, there's a clean washcloth on the counter. Also on the counter is gum, is mints, is mouthwash. Okay. Just smell good on my table. Respect my time, respect my space, and smell good, and you will get the best parts of me. But if you don't have those three things in alignment, you're going to get a lot less out of the situation.
Guys, I know that I'm a fucking almost virgin, but I'm going to give you some hints right now. Keep the orifices of your body clean.
Wash your asshole. And if you have foreskin, amazing. I personally love an uncut cock. I think they're fantastic. But clean under them. Clean that schmegma out.
Get the schmegma out of there. Yeah.
I don't want to put it in my mouth when it smells like that. So, you know, you're only upping your chances of me desiring to give you a blowjob if you are clean.
Guys.
And I like ass play. So you're also upping your chances of me playing with your asshole if it's clean.
Guys, unscented Dove
soap.
Finger your own butthole. Get in the shower and get familiar with your own butthole. Like, finger
and just
that
enjoy
thing.
It feels good. It's a fun erogenous zone.
Best part of my day is when I get to go in there and lather up and finger my asshole.
That's great. That's great. I love fingering assholes. It's
I don't
so
shower
much fun.
Six times a day, V, but I'll shower twice just to finger my butt.
I enjoy it. It's so great. It's so great. And I get to hear the wildest kinks too, which is also fun. And for me, my motto is I will never yuck your yum. Whatever it is that you're into, you are safe to say it here. I might not want to participate. I have every right to say, no, thank you. I don't want to engage in that, but you're not wrong for wanting it. And I'm not going to make you feel weird or bad for asking.
Yeah. I think you got a better chance. Like, honestly, V, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but you know, you said that you don't want to yuck anybody's yum.
Yeah.
People's yums might be a little more attractive if they didn't smell like the dumpster outside of Long John Silver from last week.
100%.
Right? 100%. That's all it comes down to, dudes. Hey, guys, I am not trying to tell you how to live your lives. And I am not your fucking guru, but I'm going to tell you right now, life is better for a well-washed male. Like, wash your fucking orifice. Dog, like get your fingers in your ears, get them in your nose, get them in your mouth, like clean your body, motherfucker. Wash your armpits.
Here's the thing. Here's what'll happen too.
Dig out your belly button, for God's sake.
Most of these men are super respectful, and they come into my space and they're very clean. It's not that often that they aren't. And one of the things that I do know, do I like it when they stink? Of course not. It's gross, but there's also an awareness that this man is particularly disconnected from his body. No. Because if he were connected to his body, he would not smell like that. He would have hygiene. He is so disconnected, he doesn't brush his teeth. Do you know what I mean?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Right. So
I'm yucking people's yum, but brush your fucking teeth, scrub your back, scrub your legs, scrub your feet.
No, you're off topic. Yucking someone's yum does not have to do with bad hygiene. That has to do with kinks.
I know. I'm just choosing the vernacular because it was fun to say. I like saying yucking yum.
For some people that is their yum though, is liking bad hygiene. They like the smell of people. That's just not me. And if you are looking for a sex worker that is into that musk and wants that, she exists. I promise you she does. It's not me. And I'm not going to yuck your yum, but I don't want to participate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't mean to misuse Yuck Your Yum. I just was using it because I like the alliteration with Y's. But there are very few phrases that you get to use multiple Y's. So Yuck Your Yum, that's three Y's.
I really love, what's been fun for me is I get to watch. I feel like you know what it feels like to me is I feel like I'm doing a really bizarre experiment. Like I'm collecting data. Because people believe it. I keep notes for myself. It's for my own reasons. It's nothing. I don't put anything personal. It's nothing like that. So nobody could find my black book with a bunch of personal information. It's more notes for myself of this is who I saw. This is what I remarked about them so that I know when they return who it is that I'm seeing again. Right. And I get to watch patterns play out repeatedly. And it is so damn funny to watch and the same patterns kind of play out. And there's almost guarantees. If a man comes into my space and he is in his 60s and he is wearing garments, he wants to be a sub so bad.
Wow.
No, interesting.
Yeah. Huh. He wants to be told he's a good boy or a naughty boy or a little bitch, depending on what it is that he's asking for. He wants to be dominated. He wants to be a sub. He wants to crawl on the ground. He wants me to tell him that he's a good boy for licking my asshole. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Can I just say, I know I've been quiet for a while because this has been my favorite 15 minutes that we've done on the podcast ever. And just watching you two go back and forth. And I feel like we're just also scratching the surface of the confessions of an ex-Mormon sex worker that we can get into. And so I would love to turn this into a series.
Right. Holy shit.
And we can talk and I will always protect the autonomy of my guests. I don't give a lot of information out because they're just fun. The thing is that when they come in and they want these things, I'm like, hell yeah. I get so excited because again, I'm not going to yuck your yum and I'm proud of them for leaning into a part of themselves that they've been denying. And they have this shadow space to come in and lean into these parts that they have been running from for decades. And I'm like, let's play with that. Let's play with it. Let's do it. Let's have fun with it. Let's create safe words and we're gonna create a place for you to play out this character you want to play that you've been denying. And we're gonna have so much fun doing it. And you're gonna feel amazing, and I'm gonna feel amazing, and you're gonna pay me a bunch of money, and then you're gonna go home. And you're gonna go back to church. You're gonna go back to church on Sunday and pretend everything's fine while you're sitting in the congregation.
Well, but you know what? Going back a little pep in his step, right?
100%.
Yeah, skipping to Malou a little bit. V, I've got a question that's a little bit triggering for me, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is that cool if I just sort of let it all hang out here? Okay. Yeah. So, this is the same sort of neuroses that I get when I meet someone who's like, oh, I'm a psychologist or I'm a therapist. I'm a sex worker. So V, this is our first time meeting. We kind of communicated just a bit before the episode, but this is our first time face to face interacting and all that kind of stuff. But you've spent the last hour and a half with Mike and with me. So you just talked about how you recognize patterns. You've sort of got these notes and stuff like that. In the amount of time that you've spent with Mike and I, do you kind of have a vibe for what kind of clients the two of us would be?
Yes, 100%.
Whoa. Yes. Yeah. Holy shit. That is exactly what I was worried about.
Can we talk about it or not?
Can we dig?
Doug would be the type that would be squirrely and moving around a lot and talking the whole time. And I would have to continually remind him that talking's okay. Talking is not I'm not telling people they can't talk, but to pause for a second and take a deep breath and come back to their body.
It's the Gemini in him. He can't resist
it. I will just say, okay, pause just for a moment. Just take a deep breath. Come back in your body. Drop out of that busy head. Let yourself feel good in your body. You're welcome to talk. I love hearing what you have to say. I just want you to take one moment to take a pause. And I will do that throughout the session. I will do that throughout the session. It would happen repeatedly where I would
that's
have to
so like, dead okay. on. I guarantee that I would be so nervous and I would just talk your ear off the whole fucking time. I would tell stories.
And trying to impress her the whole time with your stories.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And I would be laughing. I'd be laughing my head off. We'd have a great time because it would be a lot of chatting and a lot of laughing and a lot. And it'd be very playful energy. Yeah. And it'd be great. But I would still have to be like, okay, let's take a pause. Take a pause. Just breathe. Holy it's okay shit. That you're nervous. Get out of your head. It's fine. Your head. you know, it's happy to be here. I'm happy to be here. This is great.
Damn, that's dead on. Wow. What about Mike?
Mike would need a lot of reassurance that he's not a bad person.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yep.
And that's okay. I think Mike, the flow with Mike would be a lot more soft.
Mm.
It'd just be a lot softer. A lot more tender in that way. And just a reminder of like, you know, hey, this is super normal and natural. And I'm enjoying being here. I'm enjoying myself. So,
yeah.
You are free to also enjoy yourself.
Saying that right there, and this is, I want to hit on this because, you know, you talk about, we always talk about in America, like, oh, do what you love, or, you know, like, or we don't, we say make money or whatever, but the ideal is like making money doing what you love.
Mm.
And it sounds like you really love this.
I love it. And I'm making stupid amounts of money.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Just obscene amounts of money. And it's amazing. I love it. It's so great. Well, and again, it's punctuated with these tender moments with, you know, people like Mike that need that reassurance. And it's a little calmer. I have people like Doug that are chatting the whole time. I have people that have a lot of anger issues and we're just kind of dealing with that. I have people that we skip the massage altogether and go straight to fucking because we just love to fuck each other. We love it. We fuck around my entire studio because we both just are having the best time. And that is what works for this person and I. We're just having fun. And then I smack him on his ass and he pays me money and I get the fuck out of my place. And so there's just kind of like, I get to have these varied things. And I, at the end of the day, go home with a lot of money and I'm just happy and centered and I feel fulfilled. I have a very high sex drive and this allows me to explore that when I want. Like I said, I only have sex with clients when I want to. They're also welcome to say no. I also say, are we on the same page? Are you consenting to this? When I'm offering sex, they have free space to also say no. But when I do, and when that aligns, it's great because then I'm also, you know, getting my sexual needs met, symbiotic. Mm.
Exchange. I love that word symbiotic and exchange. And the reason why I bring this up too is like, and I'll put the link in the show notes of this episode I listened to with this ex-Mormon porn star, Alina Lopez. She kind of said the same thing of like, because even in my mind, there's that programming. It's like, okay, she's attractive. She's like, look, I can make a quick buck doing this. I can make more money doing this. But no, she's like, look, I've always been a sexual person. I fucking love it. And I love that I get to go do that and then get to live my normal life. And
it's amazing.
Yeah. And so, and do it's that. Amazing. And so it ties back into your question early on, Doug, about like the exploitation aspect. And it's been so freeing for me as a, like an, you know, ex-Mormon and coming from where we came from to see, you know, you look at porn online and like, there are sites now with like, I think, there's one, I had to look it up here with illustri.com and basically, what that is, are couples or people like, look, we want to put our sexual life on display. It's not anything. They're not exploited. They're not. It's just like, look, we love each other. We love with them. There's probably an exhibitionist side of them that loves to be seen. And look, we are in love and we want to show it to the world. And so they're putting that out there. There's porn directed by women.
Balesa. Like, I love Balesa. That's my favorite site. Balesa. It's all porn for women.
It's like, I think we need to destigmatize some of this stuff. And also, I know exploitation is happening, but it's happening because we are putting it in our shadow.
Yes.
Like 100%. If we free this, you know, we talk about like, Doug, your epic rant about like the nature, like our natural animal bodies and like being sexual creatures. If we, you know, if you take a plant out of its natural environment, that's the only time you need to water it, right? If a plant is in its natural environment, it gets all the water it needs. The reason why I bring that up is I feel like with sex work, and if the more we shame it, the more we shame sexuality, the more we create this, we create the exploitation in that way, mm-hmm. right? We create these mm-hmm. environments where people are being exploited and because we push into our shadow. But if we as a society lean in and just embrace our sexuality, embrace the beauty of sex work. And it's like, I'm losing my train of thought here as I'm speaking, but I'm just saying it's a better, more magical, enchanted world. And I think even fairies had, you know, fairy like nymphs that did their thing, you know.
fairy and nymph orgies, right?
Yeah.
Here's for me, and here's why. This is one of the interesting things for me, how my container is created from my shadow. I am an incredibly sexual person. I have a very high sex drive, very strong libido. I want to have sex all the time. I'm also acutely aware from the work that I've done that a big part of the reason I am like that is because of the sexual abuse. Mm. All right. And not everybody that has that goes to this, but this is where I'm at. I have two choices. I can either sit with that and say, I'm hypersexual because of the sexual abuse. And because of that, I am wrong and bad because the roots of it come from this horrible thing. I'm bad for being hypersexual, and then shaming myself for being hypersexual. Okay. Which just feeds it. Or option B, which is the one I chose, is I'm aware they are intrinsically connected, and I'm just going to lean into it because I enjoy it. And it doesn't matter what the roots are for it. I'm not going to shame myself for being very sexual because of a thing that someone else chose to do to me. I deserve to have a fulfilling and delicious sex life the way that I want to, despite the fact that I went through something like that. You know, and then cultivating it. So it's coming from my shadow because it was born from a place of being like, this is connected to that. And I think it's a beautiful thing what I've created, this beauty that was born from such an awful thing.
Well, and yeah, that's pretty beautiful. I also get the sense that, I mean, again, V, I feel like I'm dangerously trying to tell your story for you. And I don't mean to do that, but like, I get the sense that if you stopped enjoying it, or if it started feeling like work or sexual slavery, just whatever, if it felt like that to you, I feel like you would stop.
I would.
I get the sense of empowerment from you that like you just did this beautiful monologue about, you love it. You enjoy yourself. Yeah. The reasonings behind it, the causality, whatever, it doesn't fucking matter. You're enjoying yourself.
Right.
I get the sense from you that if you stopped enjoying yourself, you would stop pursuing this line of work.
You are 100% accurate. Yeah. That's a deal I made with myself. It's like, once this is drudgery, it becomes a chore. And there are moments that feel like that, but as a whole, it feels like joy and it feels happy and it feels really great. And if it gets to a point where it's way more drudgery and the joy is gone, things like that, then it's time to be done. Because I feel like it's the same with, you know, when you go to a hospital and the nurse is just really fucking shitty as a nurse, and you're like, this bitch should have retired. She's been doing this for 30 years. She has no empathy anymore. She doesn't want to connect to anybody anymore. She's sick of seeing the same fuck shit. And so she's no longer good at her job. And you can understand why. If I get to that place with myself, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm out because I'm not going to be treating people well anymore, which is kind of my whole aim anyway, including myself. But I'm not worried about that happening anytime soon. And a big reason why I'm not is that I'm so clear with where something is a no for me, that I get to continue to create this container that just comes down to only stuff I want to do anyway. I get to do what I want to do all day long. And if I don't want to go beyond that, I won't. Like, I had a man a couple days ago that asked if he can come in my face. Totally normal to ask, right? I'm like, I love that you asked. My answer is no. And he was like, well, I'll tip you more. And I said, no, my answer is no. But, you know, thank you for asking. And I love that for you. Like, I get why you like that. It's a boundary for me. I don't want it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he was like, okay, we just went back to what we were doing. I'm like, I mean, I'm still going to pleasure the hell out of you, but you just don't get to come in my face, you know? And if his need is really that need to release into someone's face, that's amazing. He doesn't need to come see me anymore because, like, I'm not going to offer that for him. So because I'm continually clear with what I will do, what I won't do, and I'm really only experiencing stuff that I want to do, it just is fun.
Well, that creates the better container too. Cause you talk about the container. If you're creating a container that's like, I'm doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
It creates that container, you know?
It's that energy. People can feel that energy of.
Yeah.
Some men need that reassurance. They're not bad people. Some men need that reassurance that I'm not being exploited. And that's okay. I'm happy to give that reassurance. But most people can just kind of feel it. And some men don't care. Even if I was being exploited, they wouldn't care. But I'm not really aligned with those people anyway. Just energetically, you know?
Well,
I feel like we need to have this conversation 22 straight times for 1.5 hours. Like, I feel like, I feel like I have so many questions. I feel like I've been called out and seen. I have a confession to make real quick. I think that you nailed me. I people can think what they want with this next confession I'm about to make. I truly, if I have to face this about myself, I think that I would rather make you laugh than I would like you to make me orgasm. Like, I honestly think that that's a real thing about me. I'm sorry, but I am dealing with this information live and in real time right now. I think that's great. Whatever that means.
Good. I want you to sit with that. Get in your body and sit with that. Cause that is an amazing revelation you just had. And I love that for you.
That is, I got to think about that a little bit more. Cause I think that there's a lot of truth in that statement.
Oh yeah. I had a guy on my table that was a stand-up comedian and he had me roaring with laughter. I mean, I was folded over. He was so goddamn funny and I still made him come. And immediately he started like giggling. He just was, he couldn't stop giggling. The second he had an orgasm, he couldn't stop giggling. And I'm like, I just want you to breathe and be in your body. It's totally fine that you're laughing. It's fine that you're giggling. It's fine that we're having this exchange. And now my face is in your face and I'm asking you to breathe.
Oh man.
Because I wasn't demonizing him for doing that. He's allowed to move in that space however works for him. He was great.
And to be honest, like, you not nailed me too. I would need a lot of reassurance. I would need a lot of like, hey, get back in your body. Yeah. And there'd probably be some crying involved at some point.
Yeah. 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 I get crying. I've had screaming. I've had really beautiful moments of people having really beautiful release, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. I get to hold space for all that. I'm having the best time, you know? I've had men cry and I just hold them. They want to be held. They don't need my advice. They don't need me saying anything. I just hold them. Sometimes I'll say, come back to your breath. Come back to your breath. The amount of times I say that in a day.
I would love to do more of these episodes if we feel like, if it's consensual.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling right now?
It's really good. It's fascinating. I'm curious to hear the playback, to hear how it sounds, because the flow is good. I'm enjoying this conversation. And I'm also, it's scary because unfortunately it's not legal, which is fucking stupid.
Weird.
You know, but God, I'm so happy. And I'm like, of course it's not legal. They don't want women being this happy.
You're selling and your body for money. Talk to a roofer, dipshit.
They're exploiting female sexuality for their own gains everywhere. Sex sells. We know this.
Yeah.
The last thing they want is me capitalizing on my sexuality. Heaven forbid.
Well, can we be your pimps then? And
just do that. Absolutely not. Nope. I do not have a pimp because I am not exploited. That is a hard pass. No, thank you.
Oh man, that was funny.
what you can do is learn what I do, and then I can be your pimp.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like
found a kink of mine.
I feel like I've got I feel like there's a niche for exactly what I could offer the world. Just one final thing here. I honestly like this shit is near and dear to my heart as far as it should not be illegal. There are multiple billion-dollar industries that involve men destroying their bodies for money. If we're so fucking worried about what people do to their bodies for money, then the NFL needs to be disbanded instantly. The NFL needs to be disbanded instantly. The U.S. military needs to be disbanded instantly. Like this shit, you know. Linesmen,
it's all about
electricians, roofers, all this shit is bullshit.
It's not about my body. It has nothing to do with my body. They don't give a shit about my body. They do not care about
my body. It's about control over you. You're a woman. Yeah.
It's always been about control. And if you can control the sexual energy of a society, you can control that entire society.
That's why the Mormon Church has billions. The figure now? $150 billion.
And I cannot stop that, right? Like I said from the very, very beginning, I cannot stop what is happening out there. The only thing I can do that is in my power is create something different and put that out into the world. Just like that Lustre site is people saying, we want to make love and we want to put it out. They're not challenging other porn. They're not fighting with other porn. They're just saying, here's an alternative.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's powerful.
I do want to bring it back because, like, the way you make $150 billion or whatever the Mormon Church's coffers are right now is you have 5 million people who believe that sexual sin is next to murder.
Yep.
And you just sit on that pent up energy that creates, and you're like, oh, well, yeah. Well, all of a sudden, we have $150 billion in our accounts. How did that happen, guys? Like,
we're just blessed by the Lord, I guess.
And what are all those men doing with all that pent up aggression? They're on my table.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. Yeah, you said, because we keep steering it towards the ex-Mormon message. But V, you've multiple times been like, oh, homeboys are wearing garments.
The majority of my clients are active Mormon men.
Ah, yeah, that's good. That's great. And it's also fascinating.
It is so fascinating. And what they're not unprepared for is being in a space with someone who is bringing them back to their body, because they don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
And who also makes them feel that way, and their whole body's vibrating and moving and shaking. And they're like, what is happening? Because I don't have the priesthood. Oh, no. Oh, no. Mm. Oh, no priesthood here. Mm. And yet their whole body is going through like this full release transition. And they're going, how is this woman making this happen? Just silly little girl with a little dumb brain. Mm.
What's so going funny. On here? I'm feeling the spirit, but I'm not in the MTC bathrooms hearing the Samoan elders sing Nearer My God to Thee. So what the fuck is going on here?
Right, guys, right. Or how is my body having this type of reaction where I can feel all these vibrations when she put her hands on me?
Oh, God.
You know?
I'm finding all sorts of kinks of mine coming from all different directions right now.
Oh, hell yeah, dog. Let's get you oiled up and rubbed down, Mike.
V, this has been fucking amazing.
Absolutely. This has been amazing. Thank you, V. Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ.
I hope that it gives some perspective, and I'm not trying to change anyone's mind about what I do. There are people that are going to listen to this. It is going to trigger them a lot, and that's okay. And my only advice, if you want to take it from a sex worker, is lean into that discomfort and the shame that this episode might bring up for you. Just put love on it, because you can't hate that shame away. You just love it. You love it, love it, love it. And it will slowly dissolve, you know? So I hope this triggers everybody.
So V, typically at this point, when we're sort of wrapping up, we say to people, we say to our guests, so how can people find you? But we actively do not want to be your pimps, just to clarify from what Mike had asked earlier. So
people that are meant to find me will find me. They will know how to find me. It's nothing more complicated than that. I'm not stressed about it. It's really interesting the way that my flow has opened up there as far as clientele. It flows. People come in and they cancel or they no show, and then someone else fills a spot, and there's this constant flow. And I have put out into the universe to align me with men that can receive what it is that I want to give people. And it will. And women. I shouldn't say just men. I do work on women. It's just not as often. It's just not as common. So I'm open to that. It just doesn't happen. So I put out into the universe to bring people to me that are ready for my medicine. And they might not realize what it is that they're asking. They think they're coming in for a hand job.
They're leaving with like enlightenment. Like they're leaving with like, oh, I just met God.
I have had. Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's so awesome.
A lot of men are like, I feel like I'm talking to a goddess right now. And I was like, you are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You are. Mm-hmm. Enjoy.
Well, I do want to bring up that, like, real quick. I mean, I know we have to wrap up, but like, the cult of Aphrodite in Greek temple, it's a whole deal, like that yeah. we can get back to of like
sacred prostitution.
Sacred
was real. Yeah. It was a way to connect to the divine. And especially if I can get people in that state where they're deep, like on the rare occasion, I know we're wrapping up, but on the rare occasion that I do sleep with someone, right, we're having actual intercourse. And there are some people that it's just kind of mindless fucking, which is great. And I really enjoy that. But there have been these amazing moments where I'm on top and I've got my hand on your chest and I'm like, I need you to breathe and be in your body while I'm working my magic, which is just kind of riding up and down. And their whole body is like violently vibrating because they're so much sexual energy is coursing through. And I'm just making them aware of it, bringing you back in because I'm wanting you to connect to those higher states of yourself, you know? That's like those moments they're unparalleled.
Praise be.
This might be our best episode.
Now give it now. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Let's actually come up with an identity. Like, what's the name of the identity that you're going to read this one as?
His name is Cool Joe.
Cool Joe, baby. Here it comes. Ladies and gentlemen.
The first name that came to me when you said that was Patrick, but I want to read it as Patrick.
Dude, I'll do it as Patrick. You do it as Cool Joe.
Okay.
You ready?
Maybe you start it and I'll do the next
one. Okay. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. As a reminder, the very best way to support this podcast is to just head on over to patreon.com/Mormons on Mushrooms.
There you're going to find bonus content, fun episodes, other shit.
Girl, well, we're talking about shit you have not heard before.
Never. Mankind has never heard these things before. So go on over to Patreon. But we'd also love it if you gave us a review. Just head over to Apple and give us a quick love over there. Quick love. Quickie.
Just a little bit of love on Apple. Listen, if you're listening on Spotify, that's cool too. Put up a 5-star if you liked it. If you didn't, keep your mouth shut.
Just maybe put up a whoa, yo, Flavor Country.
We love Flavor Country. By the way, Mike and I also accept just free pure money, and you can do that at Venmo. Mike, hit him with the deets.
Just put them in our pocket. Just give us some money at Mushmore, MUSHMOR on Venmo, and we'll use it to buy some kombuchas. Just have a good time.
MUSHMOR. What up? Peace.
Give a fucking yes.